the devil using the world and the flesh. So the devil is over and around your life. And God raised up a man by the name of Moses, and God delivered the children of Israel from slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt. Pharaoh represented Satan, the devil. The world is represented by the nation of Egypt that makes us slaves, and we become slaves of the world. Before I was saved, I was a slave of the world. And they had their own desires, their Egyptian appetites that they got when they were down there in Egypt. But God delivered them out of Egypt after sending these fearful judgments. They came against the Red Sea, and you know, Satan just wants to kill believers. He'd love to kill you if he could. And he came after them, and God split the sea and saved them through the Red Sea. And then Moses' rod was up, and sea split. God said, bring it down, and it came down on Pharaoh and all his armies and drowned them in the Red Sea. So you who are true believers in one greater than Moses, you also have three enemies: the devil, like Pharaoh, the world, like Egypt, and your own flesh, these Egyptian appetites, unfortunately, that even as you're on your way to heaven through the wilderness of the world, you have these Egyptian appetites, and they will pull you away and become an enemy to God's plan for your life. But I want to preach this morning on don't be fearful because of your evil enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Don't be fearful because of your evil enemies. And I want to say three things. Number one, don't fear because of the power of your evil enemies. In chapter 50 of Genesis, we're going to look at verse 19 and the first part of verse 20. I'll read it. Joseph is speaking. He said to them, "Fear not. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me." Now you know that these brothers had realized that their enemies had taken them over. Their own jealousy, their own pride had caused them to turn on their brother Joseph. And they had decided to kill him, and then they decided they would sell him, and they put him in a pit, and they sold him to some Ishmaelite traders going into Egypt. And they let their sinful nature get the best of them. And I believe Satan stirred them up to do that. And just as Moses was a type of Christ to deliver the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery, so Joseph here is a type of Christ to the children of Israel in a time of famine, when God had raised him up to be the ruler of Egypt, and they didn't even realize it, but their own brother was now a Gentile ruler, and he was the one that was raised up to give them bread and to take care of them. And when their father died, they thought he is going to remember all the bad things that we did, and he's going to turn on us. And so they concocted this story that wasn't true. They were always coming up with stories. And they came up with a story that said, well, the father before he died said, forgive your brothers for all the evil that they have done. And they did do evil, because Joseph, when he was a boy, a younger brother to them, he had these dreams from God. And in the dreams, these sheaves bowed down to his brothers. 11 sheaves bowed down to his sheaf. And that signified he was going to be a great ruler. And then he talked about the moon and the sun, which represented his father and mother, and the 11 stars bowing down to him. And that represented once again that he would be this great ruler in the future. And he was like a savior figure to these people. And he pointed them to Jesus Christ. But listen, how did they respond to him? Well, they got jealous, and when his father sent up his brother to check up on them, they said, oh, here he comes, this dreamer. And they hated him because his father loved him and chose him to be a leader and gave him a robe that signified that. And boy, that reminds me of the Jewish people. Jesus came from them, right? He came to them to save them, to provide the bread of life for them so they could live forever and be the blessed nation of God. And they turned on him because of their sinful nature, because of Satan. And they didn't throw him in a pit. They put him on a cross, and then he went into a grave because they killed their own Savior. And they turned upon him. And then the Bible says, of course, that he rose again. And you know what? When Joseph was sold into Egypt, the people, the Jewish brothers of Joseph, they concocted a story, and they took his robe and they put animal blood on it, and they showed it to their dad, knowing that he would think, "Oh, my son, I sent him to check up on his brothers. Now an animal killed him and he's dead." They knew he was not dead. They knew he was alive and went down into Egypt. And you know what? The Jewish people, when they killed Jesus, they had Pilate, had guards around his grave so he wouldn't rise from the dead. And the guard said he did rise from the dead. He is alive. And they concocted a story, the Jewish leaders, and they concocted a story, and they paid money to keep it hush-hush and say that his disciples stole him away, just like these Jewish brothers. But I'm here to tell you, Joseph was not dead. And he came back into this story. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is not dead. He's alive in your life, no matter what you're going through. You may be going through some fearful things where you would be fearful. And I can understand it. I would be fearful myself. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. If he wasn't alive, I couldn't even face today. I have fears in my life, and I could not deal with my fears, I'm telling you, unless I had somebody that's bigger than my fears. Somebody that's bigger than death. And we've had death hit our church, and the threat of death hit families in this church. I'm so thankful we got somebody bigger than death, my friend. He's greater. He went into that grave. And yeah, they lied about him and said he got stolen away. But no, he came out of that grave alive. And Joseph, yeah, he went down into Egypt as a slave. But my friend, he came up out of slavery. And he became the king of Egypt under the Pharaoh. And my Savior, the last I checked it out, he's at the right hand of God. He's ruling over everything, every nation, and he's doing it for the church, and you can know that. And so I'm just saying, listen to me this morning. God allows your evil enemies, the world around you, if you're a believer, is an enemy to you. Your sinful nature within you, that's your enemy. And the devil, he allows them, those enemies, to have power, and they touch your life. But he wants you to know this morning that God is more powerful. Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything you're facing. Now, I know the devil is a roaring lion. The Bible says, you know, he's seeking whom he may devour. But God has him on his leash. You see, he can't do anything but God allows him to do it. And the devil's a roaring lion with teeth, but the Bible says God has another lion. He's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he's conquered the roaring lion when he died on that cross and rose again. And he can defeat him, and he's in control in your life. So the world is very powerful. Your flesh is very powerful. The devil is very powerful. But what does the Bible say this morning? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You know, I had my own sons tell me, Dad, the New World Order is too powerful. The one world government is too powerful. You've taught us about this. It's coming. It's going to come right now in America. It's going to swallow us up. I said, I don't believe right now it's going to. I said, I believe God is going to spare America for a time. I said, we've been praying. And they said, well, look, they stole the election in 2020. Look, these people are never going to be brought justice. You'll never see Fauci brought to justice. You'll never see Bill Gates brought to justice. They are going to get away with it and get away with it. Biden, they're never going to touch them. You're never going to away. And then Trump got reelected in answer to prayer. And my friends, I'm telling you this morning, I would not be one bit surprised that these people are brought to justice. In fact, I had somebody tell me just the other day, they're checking out the FISA warrants. Remember when they did those dirty FISA warrants and they spied on the Trump campaign? They have that evidence and they're going after it. By the way, Kennedy and his assassination, it's all been declassified. It's going to come out. You see, the dirt, we prayed for the dirt to come out. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I know our enemies are fearful. I know that they're strong. But I know that we have a stronger Savior. And we have somebody that watches over us and watches over His people. Just like the Bible said, greater is He in you than he that's in the world. And the Bible says, pray to God as believers that you may live peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And we prayed that some of our young people could grow up and get married and have Christian homes. We prayed that our young people, the children, grandchildren of this church, could give the gospel and get people saved, and the Lord would build the church and the gates of hell. We said, Lord, if you want to bring in the end time, we'll accept it. Lord, if you want to take us out of here, we'll accept it. It's better to be with the Lord. But sometimes the Lord says, no, I'm going to show you I'm greater. And I'm going to push back that enemy. And I'm going to push back his timeline. And I'm going to work out my purpose. I'm just saying these guys were evil. Man, they did evil. And you know what? Sometimes we do evil. When you give in to sin, you're given into a conspiracy of evil because the devil's moving you around like a chess piece. And he will use you against your own family. He will use you against the church family. That is how the devil works. But my friend, I'm here to say, don't be afraid because of all of these evil enemies, because of the power that they have. Yes, God says they have great power, but we have the power of prayer. Amen. We have the power of God. We have the promises of Almighty God. And I have read the last page in the Bible, and when it's all said and done, Jesus Christ is going to throw Satan into hell. Jesus Christ, you see, is going to win the victory, and therefore you can not have to be fearful, because the one that the world rejected, he's at the right hand of God. He is guiding your life. He's watching over your life. Even the evil that's being done, he's in control of all of these things. So don't be afraid because of your evil enemies, even as we learn from the life of Joseph, who went through a lot of pain because of evil, yet the power of God showed up in his life through patience, and God blessed him. He'll do it for you. And I want to say, number two, don't fear because of God's working in what he promises in verse 20. Look at Genesis 50, and I'll read verse 20, the second part of it. He says in the second part of the verse, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So God says here, don't fear, because not only of the power of your evil enemies, but don't fear because of God working to save much people alive. That's what Joseph said, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, Joseph had gone through some very dark days. I mean, Joseph was sold by his brothers. He had to leave his father, leave his family, leave his country that he loved, and he went down to a foreign country, didn't know the language, and he was thrown into that situation. But God was with him, amen, and God helped him get a job, and the job he had was to work for a high-ranking government official called Potiphar, and he worked for him, and God blessed Joseph's work. Everything he did was blessed of God. Have you ever had God bless you with a job? Have you ever had God bless your work? I believe he likes to do that. And he wants us to honor him with the tithes and with the offerings, 10% off the top and the offerings over above. And God wants to bless us, and he does many times do that in the life of a believer. And you see that with Joseph. And the Bible says, you know, his brothers were against him, but the Lord was with him. Have you ever had anybody insult you, maybe tell you to get away from them, and you felt badly because it was about the Lord and you were trying to help them with the, but they pushed you away and you feel bad about that. But you know what? They may push you away, but the Lord doesn't push you away. You may feel pushed away in your heart, but the Lord doesn't push you away. He embraces you to yourself. He says, I know how that feels. I had that happen to me by my own brothers. His own brothers didn't believe in him. I'm talking about the Lord until he died and rose. They didn't even believe in him. And yet he kept going, and he met with his father and his God. And Joseph had that happen. And God blessed him in his business, and Potiphar loved him. He was being blessed by Joseph. But then Potiphar's wife looked at him, and he was a good-looking young man. He had a good build, a good look about him. And, oh, she wanted to commit fornication. She wanted to do sin. She wanted to have her, instead of kissing her husband, to kiss this man, and she tried to get him to do it, and Joseph would not do it. And she grabbed hold of his garment, and he ran away, and she cried, rape, rape, and she lied to her husband, and she said, this guy, look what he did. And her husband got all angry. He got him in jail for where the government officials were put in jail, and he spent all this time in jail. How must he have felt? I got thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, got a good job, and now I've lost it, and I'm being lied about. I didn't even do this. I was doing what God wanted me to do. But you know what? Joseph, thank God, Joseph did not lose his faith in God. He could see above the evil that was going on around him, and you need to see the same thing. Because you're a believer doesn't mean everything's going to go smooth. The devil doesn't like it that you're a believer. The devil doesn't like it that you serve God. And he knows you have a sinful nature. And he'll work on that to get you to listen to that enemy within, that sinful nature. Like Trump, when he first got elected, Mike Pompeo was the enemy within. And he said, oh, don't release the Kennedy information. Oh, don't do this and do that. And there were enemies within. And he says, I want to get rid of those people. You know what? We have the enemy within. And the devil knows it. And he uses that to get to us. It comes as your friend. Oh, just go along with this. It'll make you feel good. Just do it. It'll make you feel good. No, it won't. Not in the long run. And so there's the enemy within. And then the world, you know, the world is all around us and tells us what's good and what's popular and what's right. And we have this evil that's trying to get us to harm us and to harm people around us. But I want you to know that Joseph said here, but God meant it for good, to allow this evil in your life. You know, God could have it so there's no enemy within. God could have it so that the world is all right. God could have it that the devil is put in hell or in the bottomless pit. But it's not time for that right now. God wants to let these enemies come upon you to show you I'm greater than your enemy and I'm able to use it for good in your life. If you'll trust me, if you'll have hope in me that I'm going to work it out, if you'll be patient and keep on doing what I want you to do. So I want to say, don't fear because of your evil enemies. Don't fear because of the power of evil. And I know evil is very strong. But God is stronger. And don't fear because of God's working, that he is working through these enemies to save much people alive. And that is exactly what he was doing in Joseph's life. You say, what are you talking about? Well, when he went into jail, he went into the government's prison. You say, he's in jail. That was terrible. He's in jail. Yeah, but he was in the right place. Because Pharaoh had two of his high-ranking officials put into jail. One was his butler and one was his baker. And they had a dream, and the butler had a dream that after the interpretation of the dream was after 3 days he'd be released and be back being a butler for Pharaoh. The baker had a dream about baked meats that he had on his head and the birds were eating it. And the interpretation of that dream, three baskets, where after 3 days he was going to be hung for the crimes that he did against Pharaoh. And they couldn't understand the dreams, but a guy in prison said, I know a Hebrew that can interpret dreams. He's a prophet. He did interpret those dreams, and he said to the butler, when you get out, don't forget me. Please don't forget me. Well, how long did he forget him? 2 years. He didn't even think of him. Boy, do you ever feel like you're just forgotten? Nobody cares for what you're going through, and nobody... Listen, God cares. Jesus cares. The butler forgot it, and then Pharaoh had a dream. And the butler wanted to get on the good side of Pharaoh. He goes, oh, I remember. There's a guy in jail. He can interpret your dream. And he had, you know, 7 stalks of corn, and they were plenteous, beautiful, healthy stalks. And then 7 of them were eaten up by 7 blasted and ugly and bad corn. And then he had 7 cows, and they looked really good coming out of the river. And then 7 skinny cows that were gaunt, and they ate up the fat and good cows. And he said, that's my dream. He said, there's a guy that can interpret it. And he went and called Joseph out of prison. Joseph shaved his beard. He got it, and he appeared before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, what's the interpretation? Can you give it to me? He said, well, God will give it to you. I can't give you anything. God will do it. And he gave God the glory. And then he told them, you're going to have 7 years when you're going to have all kind of food. It's going to be a golden age. You know how Trump says we're going to be in a golden age. You're going to have all kind of food. Boy, I like it when Trump says, I want Greenland for America to protect against Russia and so forth. I like it when he says, Canada, $200 million, and we're giving it to a socialist communist like Trudeau. And he said, well, what good is it? He said, we're going to charge you guys all these tariffs, and you're going to pay all this money. You want to be communist? He said, but if you be a 51st state, well, we'll let you have a good deal. It'll be worth it to us if you become the 51st state. I remember when Jimmy Carter gave away the Panama Canal, and Trump said, we're going to get the Panama Canal back. Boy, I like that kind of talk. I love it. That's the America I knew. I just love it. I take it from God. Amen. I take it from God. And what are you going to do? Are you going to put God first if he does that? Maybe you'll go through some testing time like they did in Egypt. Amen. But I'm just saying, you put God first, and you trust him. And Joseph, you know, he had that mentality. And so Joseph, God gave him the dream, and he told Pharaoh. And he said, now you, Pharaoh, I give you counsel. You should get a man who's got wisdom, a man that can take the 7 good years when all this food is coming and store a certain percentage aside for the bad days. By the way, that's not a bad idea for you to save for a rainy day. Amen? Amen. Yeah, you should save. Don't spend all your money every time you get it. Save some of it. First of all, give to the Lord the tithe and offering off the top, and that's a good. And then save some and have an emergency fund, you know, for a rainy day. Have $1,000 in that fund and so forth. Well, anyway, then 3 months' wages in that fund. But anyway, Joseph told him that counsel, and Pharaoh said, you got the job. He hired him. He went from prison. By the way, he was blessed in prison. He was made the ruler over the prisoners because God just kept blessing him wherever he went. You know what? You don't have to be a victim of people. You don't have to be a victim of evil. You don't have to be a victim of Satan. Yes, God will allow evil to touch you, but what doesn't make you bitter will make you better. What doesn't break you from God will break you to God, and you will get blessed by God. And listen, people will see God's hand upon you. And that's what happened with Joseph. When he was in Potiphar's house, God's hand was upon him. When his wife lied and he went to jail, God's hand was upon him. And in jail, he interpreted dreams, and bam, Pharaoh hired him, and he became the ruler over all of Egypt under Pharaoh only. And he provided for the known world of his day for 7 years. They were able to be provided for. It's great when God raises up a ruler like Donald Trump to provide for you. Yeah, that can do deals for you. That's God. Give God the glory. And I'm saying it's even greater that God has provided, though they treated him badly and spit in his face, tore his beard out, put him on a cross. God has provided a Savior for you. You can go to heaven and live forever. You can have your sins forgiven. You can eat the best bread for your spirit that you can imagine. You can eat delicious bread in the Word of God and come to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church like this, where you can not only read the Word of God, but hear it reinforced and preached to you. And we have the freedom. When Biden was here, we preached anyway.
Amen.
Trump is here, we preach and say, praise the Lord. But I'm just saying, you got the opportunity. You got the opportunity to receive the free gift of the bread of life and live forever. You can have life in heaven, but you could have it more abundantly even now. You can start living for Jesus Christ even now and get saved. And I encourage you, once you get saved, put the wedding ring on. Get baptized right away like they did in the Bible. They didn't wait. They came forward, got baptized. You say, I'm afraid of the giants. Just trust God. Everything will be provided. Step out in faith. Do what God wants you to do. Join the army of God and trust Him. And don't be afraid, because your fear, God is working through your troubles to save much people alive. And Joseph said, as it is this day, it had been 2 years and God was providing for them. And he was showing them, God is providing for you, my brothers. He brought you to Egypt to provide for you. He's got you living in the land of Goshen, man. You know, Goshen was the best part of Egypt. I don't know about you, we went through COVID and we didn't shut our doors. We were living in Goshen. God kept providing for us, kept taking care of us, and we didn't take that wicked jab that the world was offering. Listen, God provides. He provides. And Joseph was telling them, look, this day he's taken care of you. He's been doing it for 2 years. He raised me up to do this. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Have you been called by Jesus to accept him as Savior, and you've received him and accepted him? Well, then you can know, my friend, even the bad things in your life, things that are your worst day. You know, the day Brother Jose heard that he had that cancer. Your worst day, the day that Marilla called me crying that her 22-year-old son had been taken away. Your worst day, that God says, I'm going to work out a good purpose in that. And I'm going to use it, listen to me, to save much people alive. And Brother Joe is here. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to have a son go in the military and be taken at how old, Brother Joe? 21. 21. Unofficially, but engaged to my daughter, my youngest daughter. I remember those days. He knows. And God says, I'm going to work it together for good to save much people alive. I won't go into detail, but I shared with a couple people in our church touching Reuben's life and how I now understand a little bit more why he took Reuben. Because I just said, God, I need help. I need help. If I'm going to help, you got to help me, because I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And God help me, friends. God help me. And I'm just saying, I need that kind of help. God can help you. And if he doesn't show you much, know he will show you eventually. You just have to wait upon him. And he will show you eventually. Just like Joseph, he said, look, you can see it right now. Look what's happened, boys. You meant it for evil. You guys were doing evil. Yeah, you sinned. But God meant it for good, just like Jesus. They wanted to kill Jesus. They meant it for evil. But God wanted him to die for our sins. So he let them do their evil and worked it out for good. Only God can do that. Nobody else can do that. Think of the wicked thing. That's why he said when people persecute you and everything, don't hate them. That doesn't do any good. They overcome you that way. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Because the Lord is going to work it all out for good. And, you can bake some brownies and you put this ingredients into the brownies and there's some good ingredients that are delightful, maybe honey or sweetener and some cocoa and so forth. But in that brownie, you might have some salt. You might have some just a raw egg. You might have their baking powder or whatever in that. And it doesn't taste good, but you mix it all up together, put it in the heat over time, and it comes out. Man, you love that brownie. It's delicious. That's what God's going to do. Yeah, that's what he's going to do. So he says, don't be afraid, he says, because of the power of your evil enemies, the world, your flesh, the devil. Yeah, I know it's got power. I've allowed it, though, to show my power. And don't fear, because God's working through that to save more people. And I can tell you this, I do believe God's going to use what happened to Reuben to save more people. And I do believe Reuben knew the Lord. And I have reason for that. I don't just say that lightly. I have reasons. And I'm just saying God had a purpose. And he's working out his purpose. And I was at a house the other day. And I tried to tell somebody, I'm for you, but you're not. I don't believe you're telling me all the story here. This is what's happening. I want to help you. You're not for me. Get out. Right now, get out of my house. I had to walk out, and I said, listen, I'm here for you. And sometimes a person has to hit the low place. They're in denial, and they have to hit that low place in order to help them. And God's able to do that. He can work it all out for good. And so don't fear, number three, because the Lord's precious promises. Look what it says in verse 21. Now therefore fear ye not. He said, I will nourish you, little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Notice he says, now therefore fear ye not. You know what? Have you admitted you're a sinner? Have you come to Christ with it and said, Lord, save me and put your faith in Jesus? You don't have to keep raising your hand to get saved. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. When Jesus died on that cross, he was looking forward to your whole life. If you live to be 90 years old, he saw all of your sins and he paid for them. They were all put to his account. And when you put your faith in him, all that condemnation went to Jesus. Didn't the brothers go to Joseph before this and say they were sorry? Sure they did. Didn't they realize he was their brother? Yes. Didn't he tell them before, I forgive you? Yes. But they doubted his forgiveness. So they had to come up with this scheme. Listen, don't doubt God. Don't doubt Jesus. Don't keep raising your hand. Trust that he heard you. That you're saved through Jesus Christ. And you can know that you're saved. And so you can come and get baptized if you've been saved. You say, I can wear a wedding ring because I got married to my wife. I said I do. And she meant it and I meant it. So I put the ring on. Baptism is like that. And you can do that. And not only that, but I want you to notice that what it says here about Joseph and what he did. You know what? Joseph said to those brothers, he said, look, God did this to save much people alive. He did this and let you do the bad that you've done. But you're forgiven. And not only are you forgiven, but God's going to bless you and save much people alive because of what happened with you. And realize that God can do that in your life. So don't go into your past and all the bad things you've done, and you buried the dead bodies, and now you're going to dig up all the stinky dead bodies of the past things you've done and think you're going to make God happy when you do that. No, you're not going to make God happy by digging up those stinky dead bodies and going, oh, it's so terrible. God knows it's terrible. That's why Christ died. And he buried those sins. He buried you. You died with him. And you were buried in, and now you're risen to a new life. So if you're going to keep going back and reliving and blaming yourself for the death of a loved one, for instance, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, I should have done this. When my father passed, I thought of these things. No, no. God's in control. And if we do, it's forgiven. And you don't help anybody by staying in the past. You need to serve God today. I'm here to serve God today, one day at a time. I appreciate that song, Angela. That was a great song that the choir sang. Empower me. Nobody knows how weak I feel better than me. Nobody. I stand up here and preach, but nobody knows how weak. And you're the same way. You know, you look good today. But hey, looks can be deceiving. We know we're weak. But listen, God says, I love these words. I want to encourage you with these words because they're for you today. He says, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He didn't beat them up. He didn't drag up their sin. And Jesus doesn't want to do that to you today. He wants to say, I love you. I died for you. Yeah, I allow you to have a sinful nature and you fail, but you serve because more people need this. More people need this good news that I died and rose again, and they'll put their faith in me. And some of you are here today, and you just need to put your faith in the Lord to take you to heaven in his time, and he will. And in the meantime, he will use your life if you don't keep living in the past. He wants you to walk with him today. May God help us to do it and stay in the word so you can be comforted. And he will speak kindly to you. Am I speaking kindly this morning? Yes, because of the Lord who Joseph represents. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about the Lord.